Happy Derby, as you said, Happy Derby Derby.
Derby Derby, Oaks Friday, Derby Saturday. 3 days of heaven.
3 days of degenerate.
Most people already know me for that. I've been degenerating for years.
Understood. So, let's talk about the Kentucky Derby. We had, in 2019, we had Maximum Security first past the post, disqualified. 2020, we had race moved to September because of the pandemic. 2021, we had Medina Spirit win, disqualified for betamethasone positive. It's time we get just a normal Kentucky Derby, isn't it?
Well, you go back, I mean, for bettors, it's like 12-1, 8-1, and 65-1, those three payoffs in the last three derbies. So somebody cashed in. It wasn't many. If you get back to the old days, yeah, it's Justify, what, 5-2, Always Dreaming, 9-2, Nyquist, 2-1, American Pharoah, 5-2, California Chrome, 5-2, Orb, 5-1. So you had like, what, six straight favorites almost?
Yeah, it was a pretty remarkable run, particularly after all the long shots that had come in for years. So what are you looking at? Like, what's your, not winner or anything, but like, what's the storyline you want, or you're looking at for this Kentucky Derby?
The storyline's just very solid field. Top heavy, obviously, the lines makers are kind to the owners of Churchill and don't put anybody over 30-1, which doesn't happen on my numbers, but very nice of them to do that, which means an even race, you know, pretty even bettable race, highly bettable race for, you know, trying to beat the favorites in this one, even in using the favorites. Because if you get 4-1 with, the two favorites in this race, you'll get 4-1, that's $10. You can parlay that into a nice exacta or trifecta, because our ultimate goal is to, you know, hit big at the Derby. Everybody wants to hit big at the Derby. And if you, you know, this is a good year because you don't have to face the, you know, the 2-1 Nyquist type odds and American Pharoah. You know, you can actually take a favorite and make money here. And a lot of people are going to take the favorite, especially Mattress Mac. I'm not sure which one he takes to make the favorite in the Derby, but he ought to be the lines maker with his bet every year.
Yeah, well, the top two are, it sounds like you're assuming the same thing. He'll be on Zandon or Epicenter. Zandon, the 3-1 favorite, Epicenter 7-2.
Assuming Epicenter goes off as a favorite is my best bet as far as who goes off as a favorite. And then who goes off as last place favorite is a nice propositional bet that'll be down the road. We'll see the propositional roads hit the industry, so beware. We'll be able to bet 20th place in the Derby.
Change is coming.
Yes, degeneration.
Yes, indeed. So we do have, it is a fairly, we don't have, as you said, we don't have a Nyquist. We don't have an American Pharoah. We don't have the horse that everybody's saying. You know, we have horses that haven't done anything wrong, really, like Epicenter. But at the same time, he's lost a race. He scared some people out of Louisiana, but he's certainly not scaring them out of Kentucky. And Zandon ran huge last time in the Bluegrass, but had lost a couple before that. So there's nobody coming in here with an aura of invincibility around
him. Oh, by far, no. And, you know, you have the Baffert factor in here with the two, with the leader of the pack being you know, Baffert horse, so you got to assume some wagering will be on that horse, too.
Yeah, no Baffert, even though he's two Baffert horses.
Yeah, that's kind of tosses it up on like a face-off in a hockey game with Messier and what's the other Baffert horse? I can't remember.
Taiba.
Yeah, that's it. With those two, you can, you know, they'd both be about 10-1, I think. Messier might get a little heavier bet because of the name and the history and the 10 million hockey fans in the world.
Of which I am one. All right, we've got the man who has Derby in his name, Derby Bill. So Derby Bill, let's start talking about the race itself. And I want to start off with a couple of the real bombers here. Happy Jack, Tis the Bomb, Barber Road, Classic Causeway, Tawny Port, Ethereal Road, two horses on the also eligible list. Do you want to take up for any of these? Do you see any reason to have these horses in the conversation as to who could win here?
No, they were very generous at 30 to 1, especially with Happy Jack. I mean, I have him at like 150 to 1 in my numbers. So, and it's hard to say he's a closer because he always runs towards the rear and passes a few tired horses. So, it's good.
Dog.
Yeah, good party for the owners, but that's about it on that one. And the other ones, Ethereal Road is great to see D-Wayne Lucas have a Oaks Derby double. But if D-Wayne hits the Oaks Derby double, it might pay, $300 with Ethereal Road?
Ethereal Road's 20 on the morning line. I mean, I think that's true because his Oaks contender, Secret Oath, is a real horse. So,
yeah, that one you might get 4 to 1 on that one. So, yeah, you're looking at paying the tax man if you hit the D-Wayne Lucas button on the Oaks Derby double.
Yeah, well we're kind of hoping that she runs well there and he takes her to the Preakness, which he has talked about. So that would be fun.
Oh, that's a distinct possibility.
To see him winning. Do you like Barber Road at all? He's the horse that ran second in the Arkansas Derby and third in the Rebel.
The jockey Ray Lou Gettinger. She got just kind of like this guy. This guy's the most competent jockey I've seen in horse racing in a long time. I think he's won 4 races already this week. And we saw him at Colonial Downs when he brought Barber Road here, and he tried him his first race ever. He tried him on a sprint, and this horse is far from a sprinter. I mean, he's bred to run like Belmont or more. He could run in the marathon down the road if he wanted to, but he's definitely not a sprinter. And they tried him here at Colonial in the sprint, and then they moved him up a bit. I can't say I could throw him out of the top 5. You know, if I had extra, if it was a 10-cent super, I would, use a ticket with him in 4th in it, possibly, but it's a dollar super, so no way, Jose.
Okay. All right. Well, we just dispensed with a bunch of horses, which makes life a little easier. Let's talk now. There are two horses coming out of the UAE Derby. That's Summer is Tomorrow, the Indian-trained horse, Bhupat Simar, and then Crown Pride, the Japanese horse. Now, no horse has ever come out of the UAE as a prep to win the Kentucky Derby. Mostly they have not run well in the Kentucky Derby. On the other hand, particularly Crown Pride, people have been really impressed with how this horse has been training in the morning since he came to Churchill. And he got to Churchill in plenty of time. He's got several works over the strip, and like I said, has been turning some heads. So let's talk about the two Dubai horses. What do you see out of them?
Well, Summer is Tomorrow. I don't see a lot out of that one. He's second in the UAA Derby, but I think Japanese horses are 0-for-20 shipping over here. You know, I think the top finish they've had in the Derby is 5th. Can't remember the name of the horse because I bet him unmistakenly. He was 5th. So their best effort from overseas is 5th, and it's just hard to adapt. What they've done with the other one, the other Crown Pride, is they brought him here. I mean, brought him here early, and he's run like trained every day, like he's running a race almost back to back to back to back. He's just, I don't know if he's going to have any legs left if you keep, the way they've been, using him up in works, and every day he's out there trying to get used to the track, I imagine. Let me try to pronounce it. Kinche Sundata. Is that his name, the trainer?
No.
Okay. It wasn't close, was it?
I think Japanese may not be your strong suit.
Well, I like noodles and noodles, but that's about as far as I go.
You're not wrong about what they've been doing with this horse. He got here in the middle of April. He's got five works over the strip since they brought him here, April 16th, the 19th, the 24th, the 27th, and May 4th, including bullet moves on the 27th and May 4th. So he has been training forwardly, and people are talking about him, but you're not seeing it.
Well, I see him, you know, not with the speed to stay up with the front pack and with not the speed to close, but, you know, he's definitely going to produce, you know, and he could produce a top 10 for the, but I don't see him competing against anything at the top of this race. I think in middle of the pack is good for him. Not good for him, but, you know, as the best bet I can do. I mean, they are, like you said, they're working the crap out of this horse.
All right.
To get him ready. So you can't blame him for not being strong and having, you know, ready to run. They've built up the legs in this horse, but I just can't see it. You might be able to see him, but I just can't see him getting in the top 10.
All right. Fair enough. So we have now dismissed virtually half the field, I guess 8 out of 20 here, that we don't see much hope for having much of an impact in the end. Let's talk about the pace scenario for a minute, Bill. I was trying to sort of scope this out earlier, and I can make a case that there might be a pretty lively pace here. What's your thought?
Oh yeah, it's like a fast break in hockey. Messier will be trying to get to the lead as fast as he can. It's his only chance to win the race, I think. So he'll be going fast. Summers tomorrow has speed, like he showed in the UAA Derby. But, and you know, like I said, he get tired late. But Classic Causeway has speed. You haven't seen much, you know. I mean, he might want his best efforts have been at Tampa Bay in the beachy surface down there at Tampa Bay. But, you know, he's definitely got speed to contend up front. But the top horses are not going to let that happen. Epicenter, Zuzu, even Zuzu's, and Tabia are all going to not let him get too far ahead. The only one that I think could steal the race is Messier if he just gets out and goes. Pulls a Bodemeister on everybody.
All right, I want to talk about, we will get to your top selections momentarily here with Derby Bill Watson, but let's walk through a couple of the others that we have not yet fully dismissed. Start that with the five horse. That is Smile Happy. Kenny McPeak is the trainer. Corey Lannery is going to ride. This horse ran pretty well to be second to Zandon in the Bluegrass Stakes. Was also second to Epicenter in the Risen Star. Obviously, you could kind of see the problem from there. Epicenter and Zandon are both going to be here on Saturday in the Kentucky Derby. Any thoughts that this one could turn the tables, Bill?
Yeah, being favored against them too didn't pay off to the betters very much, so I don't see a lot of action coming in on his chances to beat Epicenter and Zidane late in this race. As a two-year-old, this horse probably was, you know, maybe I can't remember the first Derby future that ever came out, but he probably was at the top of the list. I mean, he does his best running, probably in the middle of the race and could get in a position to challenge, but it's tough to beat the top two. He was favored. I mean, you know, he was favored against Epicenter and Zadom, like you said, and 0-2. So I say 0-3.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one thing he has sort of in his back pocket is he's a little more late in the race than some of these. He's only made four starts. He's won two. He's been second in two others. You know, and they have him lined at a big number. I mean, he is 20-1 on the morning line now. I don't That seems like a big number for a horse who really hasn't done that much wrong. But
Run Happy and McPeak. Run Happy and McPeak, his numbers are in the 90s. I mean, you know, has a small smile from Andy Beyer as far as consistency.
Yeah.
You know, very consistent horse. I mean, he had the Bluegrass one until the very end. You know, Zidane just blew past him late, but the Bluegrass, I don't think, was his best Derby prep, but that's definitely up for opinion.
Yeah, I actually thought it was pretty strong, but we can, obviously that's a conversation we can have. But all right, so let's move on now. Charge It is the 8-horse, 20-1 morning line. Todd Pletcher, Louis Saez going to ride the son of Tappet. Certainly bred to like a distance of ground. Won at second asking, and then it was a pretty good second running late in the Florida Derby. Couldn't really make much impact on White Abario after Charge It hit the gate and lugged in a little bit, but pretty good effort. This is another one really lightly raced, so still eligible to improve. What's your thoughts on Charge It?
Yeah, definitely nice Florida Derby after having a bad start and against White Abario there at the Derby closed very well, and I think he tap it and bred for more distance. I like him in the Belmont. I like him to not win here and run back in the Belmont and have a good chance in the Belmont. We always see that with the late Chargers and the closers. They do much better in New York. So, you know, but, yeah, 20-1, Saez is very capable, and Pletcher will have him ready. I mean, he was ready in the Florida Derby. He just hit the gate at the beginning of the Florida Derby, if you remember, and put him a little dizzy. You know, and White and Barrio just passed him late in that race, so that stepped him up to earn his position in this race, and he'll earn some wagers on this race. What is he, 20-1?
He is 20, yep, you got it.
Yeah, I don't think that'll stay. I think it'll go down to about 15-1. He'll get bet.
Okay, yeah, well, certainly the connections are the kind of connections you bet on, so. And speaking of Pletcher, he also has Pioneer of Medina, this one. Got in because of some defections. He was third in the Louisiana Derby, fourth in the Risen Star. He needs more than he has shown to date. Pletcher's going to take the blinkers off. And I tend not to be a fan of equipment changes heading into a race like the Kentucky Derby, but what's your take?
He'll remove the blinkers, all right, and then you'll see – then you see his odds of 30-1 and the rear ends of the top horses in this race. I just can't see it.
All right.
Cool. And follow the rear ends of the top horses. I mean, this one's not, I mean, he's got better plans for him, Pletcher, to take him up to New York also, you know, after this. And, you know, he just been pummeled by Epicenter, Smile Happy, Zoros, you know, just beaten to a pulp late in the race, and now he's stretching out to the Derby mile and a cool mile. So I just save him for New York.
On Pioneer Medina. Okay. Now, a horse that has all the talent in the world, but this is a heavy lift, is Taiba. This is another one that's one of the two that were in Baffert's barn that's here now. Source is 2-for-2. He won a 6-furlong maiden race to start his career in the beginning of March. A month later, they put him in the 9-furlong Santa Anita Derby, and he runs past them all late, including stablemate Messier, to win. But those were in 6 and 7 horse fields. Now he's got to see 20. Now he's got to see 150,000 people in the stands. Now he's got to see a whole bunch of really accomplished horses. Can Taiba make that next step, Bill?
Well, a guy named Baffert did it with Justify with only a few races, and he's trying to do the same thing here, but he's actually going through Tim Yocum, you know, training a Baffert horse here, which prepped in California twice for Baffert and let him win. Won both races pretty handily out there, but One colt has won the Derby in his third start. I had to actually look that up. In his third start. And what year do you think it was?
Oh, like 1880 or something.
1883. That might have been the first Derby. I can't go back that far. Sorry. I'm old, but not that old. just a mind-blowing run in the Santa Anita Derby from nowhere. I mean, that was just, you know, amazing. He was even 4 or 5 to 1, and you don't get that on a Bob Baffert horse in the Santa Anita Derby, 4 or 5 to 1.
Yeah, you know, just, no, it was an impressive effort. This colt's got all the talent in the world, and by the end of the year, it might be the best of these. But it's asking a lot, man, in his third start to do this. So you're kind of a no on this horse. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm not a hard no, but I think he takes another step forward, but not forward enough to get in my superfecta. He'll relax, stalk, and could be breathing down the necks coming down the stretch and scare the hell out of me, but I've been scared before.
Lives to tell. All right, simplification. The 13 horse, 21 morning line. Antonio Sano is the trainer. This guy was third in the Florida Derby, won the Fountain of Youth in a nice rallying effort. Was also second in the Holy Bull. He won on the lead in the Mucho Macho Man, but his and he was up close in the Florida Derby, but his big win in the Fountain of Youth was coming from off it. What do you see for simplification? He'll have Jose Ortiz in the irons.
Yeah, obviously he's never run away from Gulfstream, which is a sort of a factor. He's won seven or eight times down there. Don't have the PP in front of me, but
seven,
I think his sire is called Not This Time. Let's go with that. Not This Time. His first trip away from Gulfstream, so that's always tough. And then he dropped 2 to White Abario down there in Gulfstream, so I just can't see him. Sorry, Not This Time.
Okay, aptly named sire. All right, so then we've already dismissed Barbara Road. The 15 horse is White Abario. White Abario comes in a nice looking campaign so far. He won the Holy Bull, won the Florida Derby, won them both by more than a length. He won the Holy Bull by 4, beating horses like Charge It and Simplification. And notably, and we're going to talk about this horse in a minute, but notably, he also beat Modonegal in the Holy Bull. Modonegal then turned around and won the Wood Memorial. So, White Abario, what do you make of him?
White Abario is a very dangerous horse, beautiful animal. I mean, just a gray that will stand out in the field. You won't have trouble finding him unless it's raining or muddy. Hopefully, it dries out by then. According to what I heard, it's going to be 65 and clear by Derby time, so they'll have the track fast and furious, so you'll be able to see this one. I mean, White Abario is named after a town in Spain, I believe, Abario, Spain or something. And,
I did not know
But his features are tremendous, and he stands out, just looks like a very dangerous horse, and just can't take everybody, unless you want to hit the all button.
Which gets pretty pricey.
In the Derby, you just can't do it. I mean, Sophie Joseph has just ripped up Gulfstream. I mean, just ripped him with this horse. I mean, Florida Derby horses usually, lately, are up in the top 2 or 3 in the Kentucky Derby. This one could be. I'm not saying he's not. He's well-bred. I mean, you got another Tappet that can run forever. Won the Holy Bull easy. He's beaten Charge It. He's beaten Simplification. He's beaten McDougal, as you said. Classic Causeway. I mean, he lost to him a little bit, but that was back when Classic Causeway was Classic Causeway.
Yeah, that was before maybe he got exposed. And that Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes in last November has produced 3. The top 3 are all here. That was Smile Happy, won at Classic Causeway, was second. And this horse, White Abario, is third. White Abario, trained by Safi Joseph Jr., Tyler Gaffione is going to ride for the third time. And this one's the son of Race Day. Race Day is son of Tappet. So certainly the distance influences are there. But Bill says can't take everyone. So White Abario falls by the wayside. Now, let's head to the 16 horse. I don't like Cyberknife even a little bit. The Arkansas Derby, not so much. What about you? Brad Cox, Florent Giroux, a son of Gunrunner, new sire. Gunrunner was champion racer, is turning into a spectacular sire.
Yeah, usually the only knife Derby Bill likes is the one that goes in the Jeff Ruby steak, about 16 ounces. So, and I'm not great with the cyber world yet, so. Yeah, I'm trying, but this one, it'd be stalking late back. I mean, Florent Giroux just will be waiting and waiting and waiting, and as the wise guy horse out there, this one's been working well, and he'll be making a late run possibly like he did in the Arkansas Derby, but, he beat Barber Road there, and we've already dismissed Barber Road and sending Barber Road up to New York or to Colonial Downs for turf, Cyberknife. What did he beat before him?
He won an allowance race.
He was in the LeConte and looked like crap. Epicenter beat him. So
not to put.
I mean, he was like sixth or seventh, or just dragging, yeah, like Derby Bell on a Sunday morning after the Derby.
Yeah, he was way up the track in the LeConte. So all right, don't like Cyberknife. Classic Causeway. We've already said we don't like him. Brian Lynch, trainer, Julian Leparue in the Iron Son of Giants Causeway. He looked okay in winning. He was second in the Kentucky Jockey Club. He then won the Sam F. Davis and the Tampa Bay Derby. That set him up to finish 11th of 11 in the Florida Derby. He would need a race that he has not shown the ability to deliver to be a contender here. You agree with that?
Well, the over-under on how many times they say a number 17 has never won the Kentucky Derby in the on TV would be about 12 over-under. And he was 11th in the Florida Derby. So, just not in form. I mean, I have him going back to Tampa Bay, where he just gobbled it up back then, but he's two one-dimensional. He'll go, if he gets the lead and steals the race, we'll all rip tickets up.
You're not wrong about that. All right, Tawny Port just won the Lexington Stakes, only runner out of the Lexington to come to the Kentucky Derby. Brad Cox, the trainer, Ricardo Santana, going to do the honors, so to speak. A son of Pioneer of the Nile. The Lexington. It's been a long time since the Lexington produced a Kentucky Derby winner. I kind of suspect it might have been the Lucas horse a million years ago.
I can't remember which one, Timber Country or something like that.
No, he won the first two legs. He had dropped him in for a claiming tag, and then he came back. He ran good in the Lexington, and then he won the Derby and won the Preakness. And his name just completely escapes me. Anyway, what do you think about Tawny Port?
Oh, you're talking to me? I was back in the 90s doing some punk rock.
What do you think about Tawny Port?
About the same as the 1990s. Can't remember much of it. Jeff Ruby Stakes was my demise on this horse. He lost to Tis a Bomb easily in this race. And, Brad Cox will have him ready, but I'm not having a ticket anywhere near, actually not having a ticket on any of the 17 through 20. All the outside horses can just go have a mint julep.
Yeah, any interest in Zozos? He was second to Epicenter in the Louisiana Derby. He's another one who figures to be a pace factor here. Mm-hmm. Another Brad Cox, Manny Franco, son of Munnings. Seems like distance be interested to see if this one, how this one does it. But he actually ran well on the Louisiana Derby.
Yeah, he did. Ran against Epic Center and ran, showed good showing. And yeah, he's the only one of the last four that I would have on a superfecta ticket if I hit 10 bets in the undercard.
All right. Now we've
in other words,
through,
I have to.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
that's all right.
We've got
the undercard's important.
We've gone through everybody but your top four. So I think it's time for the fanfare for the top four. So you better be right. All right.
I've done my homework. Whoever handicaps for you, what's a gentleman, a Vala handicaps for you at Racing Biz?
Handicaps what?
Oh, the Derby, yes.
Horse by horse.
Yeah. Has the exact trifecta I have. That's scary. I feel sorry for him.
I hope that means that you guys are both geniuses.
Yeah, I did look it up. I saw it, glanced at it just before I come on the pod, and I saw he had the exact same picks as me, the top three.
Yep, that's a thing of beauty. So, all right, let's start in fourth. You have the 10-horse, the morning line favorite. That's Zandon. Chad Brown, Flavian Pratt going to ride. This guy was second to Modonegal in the Remsen. He was third behind Epicenter and Smile Happy in the Risen Star. And then he was ultra, ultra impressive in winning the Bluegrass in his final prep. He got him fourth. He's going to be running late. He's going to have to pass a lot of horses.
Yes. Obviously, Chad Brown will garner a tremendous amount of money bet on this race. He's 0-6, though, and as I said, told the Richmond newspaper guy, he wants this race more than Derby Bill wants Dairy Queen. So Chad Brown is hungry for a Derby win. And this one gives him his best chance he's ever had. I mean, it's definitely his biggest weapon late in the race. And will scare the tar out of my top, you know, late in this race. You know, like you said, there's no American Pharaoh, no huge, you know, California Chrome in this race, so it's going to be a dandy of a finish in my eyes.
Yeah, no, it could be. You got some horses that should be running at the end, and this guy is definitely one of them. That was really a tour de force in the Bluegrass. You know, before that race, Kenny McKeith, who trained Smile Happy, had said, you know, somebody's going to run a big one if they beat my horse. And Smile Happy went clear, leaving the furlong grounds, and Zandon, when he got in the clear, he just ran right past him. So, really impressive effort.
I have no problem with Zandon and Mondonegal repeating their efforts that they raced against each other back in the Remsen. If that happens, I'll be cashing some tickets.
All right. In third place, you have the 6-horse. That's Messier for trainer Tim Yachtin, Johnny Velasquez in the irons. This guy pressed the pace in the Santa Anita Derby, took the lead in the stretch, could not hold off Taiba. Previously, he had won the Bob Lewis Stakes by 15 lengths and looked like the second coming of Secretariat. Curious, Bill, why you're picking Messier over Taiba, the horse that beat him in the Santa Anita Derby.
Yeah, it just went a little too fast there from the Santa Anita Derby for me there too early. He went, you know, just early. Other than that, he's been a favorite in every race he's ever run. I mean, way back to, you know, what's that? Los Alamitos was his maiden race. So, I mean, Baffert's had this horse targeted for the Santa Anita Derby, and I'm sure he thought he had it won. But his chance here in the Derby is to get up front and go, just like he did at Santa Anita, and try to steal, you know, try to hold off everybody that's charging late, like Zandon and Mondonegal and your couple other late closers. So,
so you see him
really needs to
and holding on late.
He really needs to push the skates you know, mess there. Push the skates to maximum speed.
Gotcha.
And then right, shoot the puck late.
He shoots. He scores. All right, that's Messier. That's who you got in third. In second, you have the three horse. That's Epicenter, Steve Asmussen, looking for his first Derby win as the trainer. Joel Rosario in the irons. This horse won the Gun Runner, won the Risen Star, won the Louisiana Derby, second ahead in the LeCompte. Showed a new dimension in the Louisiana Derby when he did not go to the lead, but stalked the pace and cruised home as much the best. He, in the process of his time in Louisiana, he scared some other horses out of there that ran against him and made their next starts elsewhere. So a pretty impressive run through Louisiana for Epicenter, Bill.
Yeah, I've tried like for two to 4 hours trying to beat him, you know, just because you know he's going to go off as a favorite. I mean, you can look at it. I mean, Rosario's jumped on him and, just crushed down at the fairgrounds, and they ran at Churchill. He's won over the surface. He's done everything you'd want out of a favorite in the Derby, and all stuff. You know, like most people, a little bit surprised he wasn't favorite in the Derby, but that's, you know, Mattress Mack, I predict, has Epicenter. Nick Hahn probably has Epicenter, and he's there's a ton of people on Epicenter, so yeah, he might be the one that drops under $10 in when it goes to post there. But like you said, it's going to be a humdinger at the end, and there's going to be a couple closers coming after these horses, and it's going to be fun. And I'm hoping, you know, somebody with some odds beats him and at the end. But, you know, Steve Asmussen wants it more than Derby Bill wants a Frosty at Wendy's. And Asmussen's what, 0 for 23?
I don't know I know the 0 for part is right. I don't know what the other part is. But
yeah, he's on a bad streak in Kentucky. For sure he's in a bad streak in Kentucky, but everywhere else he dominates the fairgrounds and, maybe somebody will get off that 0 for stride. Chad Brown, Asmussen. I mean, these are Hall of Fame trainers with no wins in the Derby. What's that tell you?
Yep. It's and Asmussen is, I mean, Brown will be in the Hall of Fame. Asmussen's already there. And no Derby wins, but 9,000 wins, 9,000 other wins and plenty.
That tells you how hard it is to win this thing.
Yep. It's not easy. My one question on Epicenter, and he hadn't done a thing wrong, but my question to you is this. You go back and you watch the Louisiana Derby, and he got a lot of credit, and deservedly, for sitting off the pace, which was something he really hadn't shown the ability to do previously. So that was a positive. Same time, same three horses ran 1, 2, 3 all the way around the racetrack. So it's not and one of those was Pioneer of Medina. He was 15-1. This was not a race that, you know, this wasn't like he stayed on in a torrid pace duel and you know, somehow held off the closers. This was the same three horses going 1, 2, 3 all the way around the track. Does that influence how you analyze this race?
Well, that's all their styles. I mean, Epicenter, Zozo's, and Pioneer were all three front runners, you know, so they kept each other in sights. And then Rosario stepped on the gas at the right time in that race. So, yeah, that would, you know, if you take all three of them and put them together, then, you know, I could say somebody, if a closer was there, they might have got him, but they didn't set the pace fast enough for a closer to get him there. I don't think the three will get a free rein in the Kentucky Derby, though.
No, it's hard to imagine anybody just getting it all their own way in this Derby. I don't know that it's going to be a breakneck pace, but there are sufficient horses that want to be up front that it should be pace. If somebody's up there and wins this race, they'll have run a good race. All right, Bill, that gets us to your top selection. Play it on me.
Yeah, this is the one that I want late in the race, and coming very late, and it surprised a lot of people. I mean, he's definitely far from a slouch. He's competitive in every race, Mo Donegal. Obviously, he's not won every race. You know, he lost to White and Barrio down at the Holy Bull down in Gulfstream Park. But his bounce-back race, you know, Rosario's not going to ride him. I mean, but Ortiz jumps right back on him, and Ortiz knows what he's doing. So I have no fear of either one of them jockeys, you know. Rosario knows how to run him late, and Ortiz won with him late, you know, in the Remsen up there. So they all know how to rate the horse and come late. So, and you're getting a price here, obviously, 10-1. So just the top three horses, you know, were at its Epicenter, you know, Zaydan, and I had Messier as one of the top three. So, you know, I see all them up there, and then McDonald hopefully squeezing past him at the wire by a nose.
And Derby Bell celebrating.
Yeah, it'll be a Derby pie.
Yeah, now you're talking.
If McDonagall wins, the crab cakes are going to be down in Baltimore.
Yeah, okay. All right. You're not concerned. It does not concern you that Rosario rode this horse to win the Wood Memorial and gets off him to ride at the center. That doesn't bother you.
No, no. Rosario rode three times for, you know, on Epicenter, and he's Epicenter's jockey first. You know, Ortiz rode this horse most of his career, McDonagall. And that didn't surprise me at all. We know the owners of McGonagall, too, because he had the turf horse, Patio Prado,
sure.
Won the Virginia Derby and set the all-time bar bill record, I believe, at Colonial Dance. They even beat Derby Bill out at the bar.
Oh, so, you're doing something if you do that. So Mo Donegal.
Who's the guy that bought Pilate into this horse last week? There's a guy that owned Vitamin Water.
Yeah, Mike Rapoli bought in.
Rapoli, yeah. He bought into this horse, 25% of this horse, just for this race. And, you know, not saying I like Vitamin Water or the other, Body Armor stuff he put out, but, you know, more bourbon and Coke guy. But, you know, there'll be like 1,000 people in the winner's circle if McDonagall wins. And, and it'd be good for Churchill Downs bar handle.
I imagine. Mo Donegal won the Wood Memorial, also won the Remsen, third in the Holy Bull behind White of Barrio and Simplification. Son of Uncle Mo, trained by Todd Pletcher, going to be ridden by Irad Ortiz, and owned by Donegal Racing and Mike Rapoli. Jerry Crawford of Donegal was on off to the races a few weeks back, so perhaps a little foreshadowing of a Kentucky Derby win in that.
Yeah,
program.
I think I saw him and Nick Hahn turning up glasses after Patio Prado won in Virginia. So, you know, good for Mr. Crawford. I think they were headbutting each other last time I saw him.
I think
they're quite the characters. You got to like these guys. These guys. I just love the sport, and they're good for the sport. If they win, it'd be a good thing. I don't know if you win the Preakness afterwards, because might not be fast enough to get the shorter distance of the Preakness, but we'll see.
Well, I think if there's one lesson, it's you shouldn't butt heads with Nick Hahn, because his head is harder than yours. But let's talk about wagering here, Bill. How will you bet the Derby?
With McGonagall on top, I don't have to go for the value that I would if I had the Epicenter on top, or even Zaydan. Those two, you're going to have to search. And the case of trifecta and the superfecta. You know, the superfecta being a dollar, you know, cuts you back from, you know, the normal 10-cent superfecta. I would have like 10 horses in here. But for a dollar, you just can't do that unless you go in with a conglomeration or your Mattress Max buddy.
So are you going to just box your top four, like in the triple and the super?
Oh, yeah. There's also the first time ever there's a 3-year-old pick three that's, you know, I think it's Oaks Day and Derby Day. But the three-year-old pick three, so I'll have all four of these in the rear end. So you're going to have to do that in the Oaks. With the Oaks, you had, you went back to the Oaks and you said there's like top, there's four horses that can win the Oaks probably. It's a lot easier for the Oaks. The Nest, Ecozula, Catalino, and Secret Oath. You can use all four of them with all four of these in a Oaks Derby double, and you know, just hope the, you know, the 10-1 comes in first, Messier or McDougal. That's my angle, is use them in multiple bets, because you know, you're not going to get 30-1 on any of these horses.
Are you going to use anybody else like on the bottom of these wagers, you know, like a super with all of these plus anybody in fourth, or is it just these four?
Oh yeah, I'm using the one that had the share the oat bag with Nick on at Colonial Downs. What was it, Tis a Bomb? I like that one late. Had to make you laugh. He was supposed to run at Colonial Downs and didn't. But Tis a Bomb is a late charger. So you want to get a late charger to, you know, go past it, some tiring horses there. You get one of them, you know, and use them in the fourth position and third position, both in the superfecta. So you got to have a closer. And your closers, you're like, you know, usually never get there. But if they do, they pay unreal. I think I think the superfecta always pays, you know, enough to get a visit from the IRS.
Well, visits from the IRS are a small good thing when it comes to betting on horses. So, okay. Any other thoughts you want to share?
No, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and the multiple bets are increasing. You know, the $3, that's a $3 good wager on the three-year-old, just three-year-old races. So the pick three, the pick fours, the pick fives, there's so many bets you can try here. It is the day to, you know, pretty much unload the wallet on and then regroup for the Preakness.
take the middle week off and let your wallet heal, or let it bask in the glory, whichever it takes. Okay. So you got four, you think, in the Oaks, four here, and that's the major stuff.
Yeah, I can't run and hide. My picks will be in the Richmond Times-Dispatch tomorrow and on the internet, so I'm not going to hide and run if I lose, so da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da. I'll be here. If all four of them don't finish in the money, you know, I might take a day off. If those top four don't finish in the top four, then I need a day off.
Now, you, some years ago, you had a long streak of winning Triple Crown races, didn't you?
Yeah, it was like, I think I hit like 7 out of 9 straight. It was like, hit 6 in a row and then 7 out of 9. Like, wow. That was way back, you know, quite a ways back. And but they were, you know, not top, you know, it was good prices, you know, like IRS trifectas. So, that, you know, that's when you want to hit. You know, don't, I'd rather hit nowadays because the IRS was $600 back then. Now I think it's $5,000. So, yeah.
Well, they need a time the way to calculate it, so it's more friendly. So that's good news. So, all right. Well, Derby Bell, I hope you get a signer this time.
It's once a year. Unload the wallet and then hit the ATM for the Preakness and. If you have to, I mean, but go for the Derby. I mean, this is Augusta, the greatest race in America.
All right. You heard it from Derby Bill Watson. It's once again 1, 3, 6, and 10 in the Kentucky Derby. Mo Donegal to get the money, Epicenter, Messier, and Zandon. The man has Derby in his name, so you got to listen to him. Derby Bill Watson, thank you.
There's a lot of nicknames in my name from my times in New York and Florida. Been called a lot worse.
I think we'll just stay with Derby Bill. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Good luck to you.